again.
Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
Everybody, listen carefully.
This guy gets it.
Radio has changed our lives and
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Roman Yossi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Yusis Aros of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Rocky Grimaldi of the Nashville Predators.
And you're listening to the Renegades of Puck.
Broadcasting live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. And against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all skate around the NHL with all the news, highlights, scores, and more.
This is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predator,
and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie.
Welcome to Smashville.
Everybody, it's time for another episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right, it's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. And against all better judgment, the management of this radio station has given us the alarm code, a key to the building, and the access to these radio waves. So we appreciate each and every one of you for jumping in the trenches with us first thing on this Friday morning here in Smashville. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Zone. All of the Renegades of Puck are in the trenches this morning. Monster Dominance coming up in the second period. Sean C. Smith in the third period. Brian Baston will give us one big stat before the end of the show. And the ultimate one is here to get you all fired up before the end of the first period. Your Nashville Predators have won 11 of their last 13 games and now come home to welcome in the second place Tampa Bay Lightning. After 41 games played, the Nashville Predators are 22-8-1. They have 45 points on the season and they are currently sitting in a playoff position. On home ice, the Predators are 11-8 on the season, and thanks to another offensive outburst in Detroit, the Predators now have 109 goals for on the season. The Tampa Bay Lightning are the second-place team in the Central Division, and an integral part of that three-team weave that is the top of the Central that features three of the best overall teams in the NHL fighting it out for first place in the Central Division. I have a feeling that it's going to take until the final minutes of the final period of the season to determine the race for who is the number one seed. I have suspect that it is always going to be the Tampa Bay Lightning, but right now, they sit in second place after 40 games played. They are 27-11-2. They have 56 points. They are 1 point behind the Carolina Hurricanes, and they are tied with the Florida Panthers. On the road, Tampa Bay Lightning are 12-7-2, and they have scored a massive amount of goals, 138 on the season. They may have the Vezina winner, they may have the Norris winner, they may have an MVP finalist, and they may be the class of the NHL. The defending champion Tampa Bay Lightning will face off against your Nashville Predators twice in the next three games. After the Nashville Predators take on Tampa Bay at home, then it will be Sunday. They will welcome in the Stars one more time, and then Tuesday night, Tampa Bay again. That will wrap up the homestand. Then the Preds will head off to Carolina for the first of four remaining games against the Canes. They'll follow that up 2 days later and then come on back home to start a three-game set against the Chicago Blackhawks. Appreciate each and every one of you for listening out there on the WNSR app. Download that thing. Take it with you and listen to the show anywhere in the universe. WNSR.com, streaming the show completely for free. And we appreciate WNSR, 10 years of partnership, 20-plus years of covering hockey in the mainstream. Nobody does it better. Nobody offers more creative freedom and flexibility than this radio station right here and this great media partner. So we would appreciate if you wouldn't support the station at Nash Sports Radio on Twitter, Facebook, Nash Sports Radio, and very easily stream it, get the app, do all of those things. Nashville Sports Radio doing a great job. After all, they are giving us the opportunity to come in live at 5 on game days. And remember, none of that is a punishment or a penalty. We love getting in the trenches first thing in the morning and setting the tone, setting the pace, and setting the conversation for everyone else. If you notice, a lot of times we will start talking about things first thing in the morning here in the trenches, and those conversations will facilitate and distribute throughout the city during the day and into the evening. And I love being a part of that. Love being in the trenches. Love being the first to bring you the information. Love being the first to bring you the story. So not a punishment. We're here by choice. We want to prove to the world and to program directors everywhere that you don't have to be on radio between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. You can go outside those boundaries and you can do outstanding and great programming just like we do here at Predneck Nation Radio. So again, Appreciate Nashville Sports Radio. All the old school signals, 560 AM and 95.9 FM all throughout Middle Tennessee, especially on the I-65 corridor. 107.9 FM headed down through Smyrna into Murfreesboro, on into Manchester. And, of course, a great repeating signal on Drakesboro's 103.9 FM in Kentucky, helping us get into Clarksville and over into Bowling Green just a little bit better, and always looking to add more, always looking to expand the trenches. And we appreciate each and every one of you out there for jumping in the trenches with us, whether that's live at 5 on game days or for Predneck takeovers, or if you're listening on demand through the WNSR website and through SoundCloud. We know you're very busy, and we know you can't always get up and get in the trenches with us, so we make that available. We usually post that thing by about 6:45 a.m. when we have live shows. We get that thing posted as quickly as possible, and we have been rewarded for the efficiency with which we get that posted, because you guys are clicking on those links, you're making us part of your morning routine, and you're getting all fired up with the Renegades of Puck, and we certainly give sticks taps to each and every one of you out there. Was made aware of a renegade named Ben from Boston who is spreading the good word on conference calls and in morning meetings all over the mid-state here, and we are appreciating him very much, and each and every one of you. The more you spread the word, the more you pass the links, the more it gets out there. This is a guerrilla marketing operation. We are growing one listener at a time. We're growing the trenches 1 foot at a time, and the trenches are expanding more and more each and every day. How did I find out that we had some great renegades passing the word? Well, it turns out that this show is being discussed on a conference call on a pretty big company based in the borough, and a friend, an old friend from out of state who has been supporting the Renegades of Puck now for a while, tuning in each and every morning, made me aware of the situation. So I appreciate each and every one of you. Everyone out there is doing a great job passing the links around. The numbers are up. That helps because the Nashville Predators are winning, and I know when the Predators win, as I always say, it's good for business, more listeners, more replays, more clicks, more happiness, more everything, and we're experiencing that right now, which is why I am ordering all Renegades of Puck to the trenches 24 hours a day to monitor for the rest of the season. As the Nashville Predators only have 15 games remaining on the season, there is simply no more time for half-stepping. We are on the verge of playoff madness. All Renegades, be aware, be alert. And all Renegades to the trenches. Playoff madness is on the horizon. For the Nashville Predators, winning 11 out of 13, we've set up the schedule. Let's tell you about their next opponent before we can recap last night's game. The Tampa Bay Bolts. You know this team. We have seen this team plenty of times. 6 times already this year. The season series goes as follows. All the way back on January the 30th, Tampa Bay defeated the Nashville Predators 4-3 on home ice. Pekka-Rinne took the loss, making 29 saves. Arvidsson, Ellis, and Olivier got the goals for the Preds. They'd follow that up on February the 1st with a 5-2 loss in Tampa. UC Saros took the loss in this one. Tolvanen and Granlund on your goals. Gord would score 2 goals against the Preds, and Vasilevsky would get the win against the Nashville Predators. It would be February the 8th when Tampa Bay would come to Nashville for the first time and defeat the Predators by a score of 4-1. Predators were never in this game. Pekka-Rinne takes the loss, making 31 saves. Fabro gets the only goal for the Preds. It was Sorelli with 2 goals and McElhaney getting the win for Tampa Bay on the 9th. The next night, it was the Preds falling 6-1 to Tampa Bay. And again, they were never really in either of these games. UC Saros took that loss. Grimaldi got that only goal. It was Stamkos and Joseph wearing out the Preds 2 goals apiece, and Vasilevsky getting the win before the Preds would head back down to Tampa Bay. It was a 6-3 loss in Tampa Bay. Rinne with the loss. Trent and Carey Halla got the goals. Vasilevsky the win. Tampa Bay had 6 different goal scorers, and you know they can distribute the offense all throughout their lineup. But then, after falling 5 consecutive games to start the season series, the Nashville Predators started the second half of the season with what I have called their signature win of the year. And now we could say it's potentially a turning point win in this season. The Nashville Predators on the 15th of March defeated Tampa Bay 4-1. Pekka-Rinne got the win and was spectacular. 38 out of 39. Kalle Järnkrok with a goal and 3 assists. Also with goals, Arvidsson, Tolvanen, and Ekholm. The Nashville Predators were simply masterful. They won every portion of the game, and it was truly the signature victory of the season. Now, after that game, the season series is still incredibly lopsided, but at least there was a light at the end of the tunnel in that game. The Predators are 1-5 against Tampa Bay this season, have only managed to pick up 2 out of a possible 10 points, and they have been outscored by a lot, 26-14. After this game, Game 7 that we're previewing right now, the Nashville Predators will face off on Tuesday against Tampa for the 8th and final time of the regular season. But these two games are incredibly important against Tampa Bay because the Nashville Predators could be looking at a best of seven series against the Lightning coming up in the very near future. That means if they play the 8-game regular season, if they manage to have a full 7-game series, the Predators would face off against the defending champions and the class of the NHL and clearly the class of the division 15 times this year. You talk about forged by fire. The young players on this team are going to get an opportunity to get a chance to punch the champs in the mouth, and that will happen at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow. Taking a look at Tampa Bay's most recent action, it was the 1st of April. It was a 3-2 win versus the Columbus Blue Jackets. Then on the 3rd of April, a 2-1 loss versus Detroit. A 2-1 win versus Detroit. On the 4th, they followed that up with a 5-1 loss versus Detroit. On the 6th of April, a 4-2 loss at the Columbus Blue Jackets. And most recently, which was last night, a 6-4 win at Columbus. Vasilevsky with the win, 32 saves on 36. McDonough with 2 goals in that game. And that score is a little bit deceiving. Columbus closed the gap pretty late in that one. They were down 6-1 at one point. After Tampa Bay plays the Nashville Predators tonight, they will actually wait to play the Nashville Predators on Tuesday, while the Preds will have a game in between against Dallas at Bridgestone Arena on Sunday. And then Tampa is off for a big-time top-of-the-division matchup against the Florida Panthers next Thursday and next Saturday. Taking a look inside the numbers for both of these teams, and it's hard to find a statistic where Tampa Bay is not extremely good. As a matter of fact, the only place they are not ranked in the top 10 is the penalty kill. They're 10th. 82%. They've given up 24 power play goals against, but their power play is fourth best in the league, converting at 25.4%. Their shots against, sixth in the league. Their shots for, ninth in the league. Their goals against is eighth in the league at 2.50, and their goals for at 3.43 is second in the league. This Tampa Bay Lightning team is highly impressive, but the Nashville Predators proved that no matter what the stats are, they can go out there and compete against this team for a full 60 minutes, and they've proven they could do it once, therefore they know they can do it again. That game in Tampa on the 15th of March should be at least enough to build the confidence, and with the recent play of this team, they should be able to take the statistics that are closing the gap but will never look as impressive as the Tampa Bay Lightning. But the numbers for the Preds, 2.56 goals per game now is 24th in the league. Goals against, 2.83 is 16th. The shots for, 30.2, is 10th overall in the league. Shots against, 19th. The power play moved up to 15th now. 25 conversions out of 119 opportunities, 21%. And, of course, the penalty kill moving up in percentage, 73.9%. That's 28th, but they've still given up the most power play goals against in the league. That's 34, and the margin is 3 between where the Preds are at 34 and the next two teams at 31. The injury situation. It is going to take so much time to go through all of the injuries for this team that I'm not even going to attempt to go through all of the injuries. I've just pulled out some of the biggest impact injury names at this moment, and they are as follows. Forsberg still out of the lineup. Duchesne still out of the lineup. And Tolvanen last night scratched, and we will hopefully get an update on his health sometime this morning. Ellis, Favreau, Carrier on the defensive side of things. The Nashville Predators have found a way to just continuously plug in bodies. They have called up guys from Chicago. They have brought guys in from the taxi squad. It has been a consistent and constant rotation for these players. And you really have to give the Nashville Predators a lot of credit for winning 11 out of 13. That road trip forged by fire was done with 6 rookies and at one point 7 rookies in the lineup. And they continue to come up. It is simply an impressive effort by the Nashville Predators' entire system and every one of the coaches involved in the development system right now for the Milwaukee Admirals on down deserves a hell of a lot of credit, because each and every one of these players that gets plugged in, they look like they belong. Now, listen, they're not getting the opportunities to put up a lot of stats or prove a whole lot of things, but they're getting plugged in, they're getting important minutes, and they are absolutely looking like they belong out there on the ice. Taking a look at the numbers for the Nashville Predators and the statistics, Philip Forsberg still leads the team in scoring, as you know, 29 points after 34 games, but can't wait to see him back in the lineup. Roman Josi, second on the team in scoring and first among active skaters right now. 34 games skated, 4 goals and 20 assists. That's good for 24 points. 13 of those 24 points come on the power play. Victor Arvidsson, after last night's game, now has 8 goals on the season in 40 games skated, 13 assists. Good for 21 points. Kalle Järnkrok also at 20 points. Then you see Tolvanen at 19. 19. Grenlands at 17. Ekholm at 17 and on down. In net for the Nashville Predators, UC Saros. The numbers are just starting to look absolutely incredible, and they just keep getting better. Now 23 games skated, 13-7 on the record, but a 2.19 goals against average, a 930 save percentage, and another game last night where UC Saros only gives up one goal against for this Nashville Predators team. Listen, overall, the numbers for the team are starting to look highly impressive as well. A 2.76 goals against average on the season now and a 916 save percentage. And you know, the numbers for either of the goaltenders, they were not looking good for a while. They were taking quite the beating. But UC Saros is opening the eyes of everyone around the league. You have to talk about the Tampa Bay statistics because the Lightning is one of the most dynamic offensive teams in the entirety of the NHL. They are led in scoring by defenseman Victor Hedman. I made reference to possibly having the Norris Trophy winner. There is no doubt Victor Hedman is definitely a finalist. He is probably your winner. 40 games skated on the season, 7 goals, 30 assists. That's good for 37 points. 21 of his 37 points come on the power play. 20 power play assists out of his 30 overall assists. He is a world-class puck-moving distributor. Do not mess around with Victor Hedman. Steven Stamkos, a name that everyone recognizes out there, and he has always gotten his against this Predators team. He's looking to set up over there in the left circle and get the one-timer. We all know that is OV's offense, but Steven Stamkos has certainly utilized that space to probably get himself a Hall of Fame career. 38 games skated, 17 goals and 17 assists. It's good for 34 points. 10 of his 17 goals come on the power play. No doubt a dynamic offensive specialist. Palat, after 40 games skated, has 12 goals. Point has 16 goals. Gord has 13 goals. Killorn has 10 goals. Joseph has 10 goals. It goes on and on and on for this Tampa Bay Lightning team. They are able to distribute the offense through just about any one of their lines, and they are capable of putting up a ton of goals against any team on any night. In net, Vasilevskiy, possibly your Vezina winner, 24-6-1, a 2.06 goals against average, a 929 save percentage, and not much going on in backup. That's why I expect Tampa Bay to be active looking for a backup goaltender coming up. All right, let's get into the game last night very quickly. Grimaldi, Johansson, and Arvidsson make up your first line once we found out Tolvanen was going to be a scratch. Then we see Yarncroke, Granlund, and Cunnan, Halla, and Cousins. That's right, Halla and Cousins make up the third line. I'll explain. Trenin, Sissons, Olivier make up your fourth line. That's right, the Nashville Predators, with Tolvanen being a late scratch, decided to go with 11 forwards. Not completely out of the realm of normal hockey. This has been done plenty of times before. And in Nashville Predators history, you'd remember Barry Trotz utilized the strategy of 7D, 11 forwards plenty of times. It's easy enough to fill in for that spot. It just makes the lines a little bit off balance, but it's really no problem. And going into this game, I'm all right with the Nashville Predators starting 7D, knowing what they were going to be going up against in Detroit for the final regular season game of the season against the Red Wings. Josi and Harper, Ekholm and Benning, Davies and Lewington, and Ferentz making his NHL debut. Lewington making his Nashville Predators debut. And did I know about Lewington before yesterday's game? You know, I did not. But thanks to Rachel Kay over at ontheforecheck.com and her great link and article during the day yesterday, I was able to read up, and therefore I was prepared when I saw him take the ice last night. And I knew exactly what I was going to be. So stick taps to you, Rachel, over there at ontheforecheck.com and your entire staff for keeping people up to date and making everybody aware. Let's get into this game. It was 4-8-21, and the Nashville Predators were wrapping up the regular season series at Detroit, looking for their sixth win out of the 8-game regular season series. At 1:24 of the first period, Stahl's off to the box, 2 minutes for tripping. Trenant also off to the box, 2 minutes for embellishment. Haven't heard the word embellishment in a while. 4-on-4 hockey right here. 3:25 of the first period, Ekholm's shot. Hall is bringing the jam. Bernier's making a desperation save on the goal line. Not looking good early is Bernier. Seems to be having difficulty tracking the puck and hanging on to the puck. 3:46, Cunningham's shot from near the blue line hits Bernier up high. It lands on top of the net, bounces down into the low slot, and then Cousins is robbed. But this is completely by accident. This was a situation where the puck just hit the goaltender. If you take a look and go back and see that again, Bernier had no idea there was a shot even coming or where the puck was. Just lucky for the goaltender, and sometimes that's enough. 5:15, Lewington's off to the box, 2 minutes for holding. Saros has to make a big save on a 2-on-1 off the rush, but after that rush, the Preds would settle in on the PK and be very disruptive, and the only shot on goal would be that 2-on-1 right at the very beginning of the power play. 10:51, Glenn Denning cuts across the slot on the rush, has a good scoring chance, and Saros comes up with a big save. 14:03, Saros a save on Svechnikov at 19:58.
Cunnin gets a backhand off the give and go with Granlund and a follow-up opportunity. That takes us to the end of the first period. Each team with 10 shots on goal. No goals on the board. But at 1:48 of the second, Helms going to get his third of the season, putting the Wings on top. 1-0 with Stetcher with the long shot deflected off Helm near the top of the crease. And it goes into the net. Just the slightest of deflection, but it was enough to change the angle and to beat UC Soros. But the Predators would answer immediately with Victor Arvidsson back in the lineup. Excellent news. 2:28 of the second. Victor Arvidsson's sixth goal of the season ties the game at one apiece. Bernier absolutely robbed Arvidsson on the back post play, but Hockey Jesus was smiling on Victor Arvidsson, not only on this day because it was his birthday, but because this rebound goes right off of a defenseman's leg and trickles into the net for Victor Arvidsson to get his sixth goal of the season. It would not be the end of the offense for RV Hustle at the end of this game. 5:55 in the second, Soros has a save on Merrill with traffic. Detroit's best shift, best sustained pressure of the entire game. Olivier with a huge shot block that definitely left him limping just a little bit, but he would come back into the lineup almost immediately. 6:36 of the period, Hall has got his fourth goal of the season. It was Grimaldi winning the race on the forecheck. He puts the puck into an open area into the slot, and Halla gets there, and it's a sweeping backhand. Nice finish by Halla right here. Good job by Grimaldi to bring the jam and the hustle. The Predators have a 2-1 lead in Detroit. At 7:03, Soros has a save on Smith, jam and stuff attempt. And at 8:50, here we go. Ernie, 2 minutes for boarding. Originally called 5 minutes, but after review, reduced to 2 minutes for a reason that I am confounded by. I do not understand how they could reduce that. After seeing it one time, I knew it was a 5 minute major and probably a suspension, but for some reason, it is reduced to 2 minutes. In the process of the play after the boarding on Benning, which was absolutely disgusting, Olivier jumps Ernie, getting himself a 2, a 5, a 10, total of 17 penalty minutes. And the only thing more shocking than Ernie's penalty being reduced from 5 minutes to 2 minutes was the fact that somehow Ernie got a 5 minute major for fighting Olivier when he never had a chance to get his gloves off. He ate some fisticuffs. There is no doubt about that. Listen, I know you don't want to see Olivier going off the box for 17 minutes right there in that scenario, but he's sticking up for his teammate. I support what he did, and I'm all right with it. And the Nashville Predators were able to sustain what would be a penalty kill coming up, because also at this same time, John Hines, being very demonstrative, wanting an answer for the Ernie hit being reduced from 5 to 2, and also for the other call, he gets himself a bench minor. Now, for the Nashville Predators, this entire exchange is a group-building, team-bonding moment. We'll let the fellas talk about that here in a little bit. I got to keep going with the game recap. This hit was a big story, but it is not the story of the game. It was just a moment in the game. There would not be any carryover after this. 13-11 in the second. Arvidsson stopped by Bernier close range at 16-10. Cousins got his fourth. Sissons, no half, stepping on the forecheck, just absolutely bringing the jam there along the back wall. He gets the backhand pass to Cousins in the slot to finish off the play. 3-1 Nashville Predators, 19-29. DeKaiser's off the box, 2 minutes for cross-checking. There'd be carryover at 1:31 of that power play into the third period. But at the end of the second, the Preds are up 3-1, each team with 20 shots on net. Carryover of the power play would yield nothing for the Preds, but Arvidsson would get a good one-timer look. 5:31 of the third, Lewington drives the net, cuts across the slot, and is stopped by Bernier again. I knew about Lewington because I read up on him on theforecheck.com earlier in the day. 6:33, Ferentz in his first NHL game gets a shot with Cunnin's rebound attempt. 7:06, Granlund's got his 10th goal of the season. A knuckler beats Bernier. Good look by the broadcast there from the long range, being able to see exactly what the dynamics were on that shot. 4-1 Nashville Predators at the 10-minute mark. Arvidsson's second goal of the game, 7th of the season, a 2-on-1. Arvidsson decides to take the shot and just beats Jonathan Bernier absolutely clean. We got a 5-1 hockey game. 11:06, Arvidsson pulled down on the breakaway, awarded a penalty shot. He goes with the Vern Fiddler Nashville Predators legacy shootout move. After a little bit of razzle-dazzle and some jazz, he ends up forehand-backhand conversion. His 8th goal and the hat trick on his birthday. Great job by you, Victor Arvidsson, coming back in the lineup and putting up one massive performance. Now we've got a 6-1 hockey game. Trennan would add one after forcing a turnover, putting it through the legs and a backhand snipe. That would give the Nashville Predators a 7-1 lead, and that would be your final. The Predators outshoot Detroit 32-26 and finish up the regular season series 6-2 against the Detroit Red Wings. Listen, after splitting the first four against the Wings this season and not looking particularly good in one of those games, giving up 5 goals and frankly really getting blown out in Detroit. I will take the Nashville Predators sweeping the last four games of the season series. I will also take the Nashville Predators picking up 12 out of those 16 points in the regular season series. Yes, I would have loved for the Nashville Predators to go 8-0 against the last place Detroit Red Wings, but as you see, even the mighty Tampa Bay Lightning have fallen to Detroit at a certain point in time this season. This is the NHL, and over the course of that many games, ultimately you are going to lose to an opponent. But the Nashville Predators sweeping that Final Four, making the regular season series 6-2, I'm okay with that. Now, they're 5-0 against Chicago with three games left to go. Pick up as many of those points possible, and you will find yourself as a playoff team. Mastrodamus coming up in the second period. Sean C. Smith in the third period. Brian Baston before the end of the show. And the ultimate one, he's here to get you all fired up.
Do you feel what I feel? Do you sense the electricity tingling in your veins? The hairs on the end of your arms, the back of your neck, tingling with excitement. The passion boiling within you as we rattle off win after win after win, taking yet another step to securing our spot in the postseason. Do you feel the intensity? Do you feel the excitement that is boiling in this air? Do you feel all of it in your soul, the way that each and every one of the Renegades of Puck do right now? Do not doubt for a moment that we have earned where we are, that we have stared into the black inky void of oblivion and watched oblivion blink. But make no doubt about this either. The test is not over. The test is still coming. We still have teams ahead of us that can hold us down. We need to make sure that the passion and the fire that burn within each and every one of us stays lit, stays ignited, and that we continue to rise as a city and as a fan base, so that whether you're at home, whether you're at the arena, whether you're at a bar, we all continue to defend the stone and we stay hungry as this team continues to feed us more.
Hockey players are as unique as the game itself, and your uniform should be tailored to fit you. Rebirth Sports is your sports apparel tailor. From shells, bags, warm-ups, hats, hoodies, branding, and more, let Rebirth Sports be your custom hockey tailor.
And don't forget to tell them they do more than just hockey.
Rebirth Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Rebirth Sports and Predneck Nation, a match made in hockey.
I'm Jussi Saros of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back in Redneck Nation Radio. Thank you so much to Rebirth Sports for partnering with this fantastic radio show. It's so great to have you in the trenches with us. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier. You heard from the ultimate predator. He's got the fire, he's got the fury, he's got the passion. That's why he is one of the Renegades of Puck. Now it's time to welcome the starting goaltender of Redneck Nation Radio. On Twitter, you can find him at GreekGoalie35. He is, of course, a man so far ahead in the future, he's going to tell you everything that's going to happen between the Nashville Predators and the Tampa Bay Lightning. But first, we'll go back and recap some individual performances, take a look inside the box score. And I know Mastrodamus has some very strong opinions about a particular play last night. So let's get into it. He is, of course, Mastrodamus. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Charlie, I am doing very well, so I'm ready to get at it.
Mosh, let me lay some numbers on you real quick, then you tell me about Jussi Saros. I don't understand how Jussi Saros is the same goaltender that in January and February was 6-6 with 32 goals against and a 8.97 save percentage. Now he's 7-2 since coming back from the injury, 293 of 304. That's a 963 save percentage and a 1.22 goals against average. Mastrodamus, the season numbers are incredible. We went into it extensively yesterday. Last night, 25 out of 26, another game where he only gives up one goal against. Talk to me about the performance of the franchise starting goaltender, Jussi Saros.
A very ho-hum performance, 25 out of 26, but he wasn't challenged anywhere near as much as he has been in games past. So the amazing part about that is that 25 out of 26 is a 962 save percentage, which is essentially what his save percentage is since he's been back over the last month. So it's kind of crazy that he's been able to keep that up over that period of time. But here's a little history that I'll go back even further than that. 2 months ago today, Saros gave up six goals to Tampa Bay. In that three-game stretch up to that point, he'd given up 15 goals in less than three games between Tampa Bay and Florida, and really only eight periods because he got pulled in one of those games. He's given up 16 goals since. Incredible that he's able to do that in 13 starts, 16 goals allowed since that game 2 months ago. I don't know what it is. Part of it obviously is coming back from injury, but he was doing okay prior to the injury, the previous games before that. He had, I think, five wins before his injury. Four of them were against Columbus. So he's certainly taken advantage of the fact that it's Detroit and Chicago and Dallas and those teams. But if you watch his performances and just look at how well he's playing, look at how much confidence he's playing with, it doesn't matter who he's playing against right now, he's stopping the puck.
With a potential seven-game series on the horizon for the Nashville Predators against this Tampa Bay Lightning team, it's going to be incredibly important for UC Saros to get more experience, confidence, and success against Tampa Bay. After all, it was Pekka Rinne scoring the only victory for the Preds this season. UC Saros, as Moss just mentioned, did not fare very well in his previous starts against Tampa Bay. Let's move on to Victor Arvidsson. Mostradamus, three goals last night on his birthday, comes back into the lineup from that injury, gets his seventh overall goal of the season. He gets the hat trick, and he finishes it off on the penalty shot. Mosh, sometimes you get robbed, but you get lucky, and other times you get rewarded a penalty shot, and you finish the conversion with a legacy shootout move, a forehand backhand. It was a pretty exciting night for Victor Arvidsson out there on the ice.
Yeah, you knew it was his birthday when the first one went in. He looked like he completely telegraphed an open net chance, trying to corral the puck just right, and Bernie, to his credit, of course, made a diving save, and then, of course, the puck eventually bounces in off the defenseman, so you get a nice little ricochet off, get the first goal. Second one just beats Bernier clean 5-hole. And I honestly can't remember the last time Arvidsson has been on a rush and taken a nice, easy, accurate wrist shot on the rush. It's usually a slap shot, or he'll try a dirty dangle, something like that. But the simple wrist shot beats him 5-hole. Again, Bernier has been out with injury, so his rust definitely showed. He's usually an absolute predator killer when he's playing out there. But then you have the penalty shot move. I have no idea where he pulled that move from. Because Arvidsson, we've seen him on breakaways. It's typically backhand, forehand, shoot in, shoot low, and that's how he scores. Totally deked out Bernier out of his skates on this one. A little bit of a legacy move, but this was much prettier, I'll say, than a Vern Fiddler legacy move. I'll say that.
Oh, Moss, you know, he just got the updated package that added the extension onto the forehand backhand. Of course he went with the Vern Fiddler How to Win at Shootouts DVD series. That's what every Nashville Predator is issued when they first come up here into the lineup. All right, Moss, there's so many forwards we could talk about, but let me just run down a couple of numbers, and I want to move on to the D, because the D was a very big story last night. Cousins, a very impressive game as well. A goal and assists, also generated four shots on net. Granlund had a goal. Holla had a goal and assist. Sissons with two assists. Trennan also with a goal in this game. And, of course, Olivier only skated 8:30. So the Nashville Predators started with 11 forwards and went with 10 forwards for a big portion of the game. We'll get to that play and that particular player in just a moment. But I want to talk about the D-core first. Predators went with 7D last night. Mosh, something that certainly happened in the NHL plenty of times before. It used to happen when Barry Trotz was the head coach on not a regular basis, but it happened often enough. Some highlight and standout performances from the D-core. Ekholm with two assists. Harper with two assists. Lewington picks up an assist in his first game as a Nashville Predator. We also see Ferentz make his NHL debut, the next big hype defenseman in the Nashville Predators prospect chain. Overall, I thought the D-core did a very good job last night, and I thought Lewington especially represented himself very well. Three shots on net, also two blocked shots. He did take a minor penalty in the game, but he was highly noticeable in his only 14:05 of time on ice. Mosh, talk to me about those seven defensemen and what they did last night.
Well, I'll start with the forwards. You're asking about the forwards. Eric Halla, I gave him a ton of grief last show for having the most invisible 19 minutes of ice time in history. A couple points out of him. You mentioned, of course, Cousins getting a couple points. This team somehow piecing together a lineup that may finally have lost the Laviolette stench off of them and truly playing as a 20-man unit out there. I know it's, you know, quote unquote, just Detroit. Detroit just curb stomped Tampa Bay the game before this two-game series against the Preds. So kudos to them. But the defense, like you said, you know, you out there, they completely locked things down against Detroit. I know Detroit's not exactly the most offensively gifted team out there. But when you piece together a blue line the way the Preds have, and you know, whether it's six, whether it's seven, how many ever they are, it's impressive to watch. You could say that Nashville broke their spirit with that second goal, because I don't really remember Detroit getting that many quality chances, if any, pretty much the rest of the game on that. So you mentioned guys like Lewington has a couple of, you know, nine games, I think, of NHL experience. He was with Washington a couple seasons ago and played there, first point with the Preds. Davies seemed to get lost in the mix a little bit. I think he only had about 12.5 minutes of ice time out there. But it was good to see the Preds at least be able to balance things out on the blue line because of having that big lead in the third period. Didn't have to play Ekholm and Josi as much. So they both played nearly 30 minutes of ice time last time out there with the shootout win. So good to see a little more balance out there on the blue line.
All right, Mosh, now we need to get into it. The Ernie boarding hit on Benning. Originally called a 5, reviewed and called a 2. I don't know what video, I don't know what replay or what angle they could have possibly have looked at to reduce that from a 5 to a 2. Olivier, of course, seeing it right in front of his very eyes, gloves hit the ice immediately, and he jumps in there. Maybe the only thing I'm more surprised by than the review reducing the number of penalty minutes on this hit was the fact that the player was given a fighting major when he never even had a chance and was fed a constant diet of fisticuffs by Olivier. Mosh, take me through the situation. I think the NHL Player Safety Department will have an announcement at some point today, and I have a feeling it's going to be more than a fine. This was vicious, it was disgusting, and I was very happy to see Olivier not only stick up for his teammate, but I was also happy to see John Hines get himself a bench minor for the level of anger that he showed towards the refs. Mosh, take me through it. Give me your opinions, give me your analysis on what you think happens falling out from it.
Well, sometimes you'll see boarding penalties where a guy turns his back on the offending player at the last second. This was not a case of that at all. This is a race to the puck towards the corner. He sees his number the entire time, and not only does he board him, he has his forearm in the back of his head, basically, and drives him into the boards. It's a vicious play. It's a dirty play, and he absolutely deserved what Olivier gave to him. This is a situation where the referees overcomplicated things, and I get that they have to do the review now on any major penalty to make sure that it's a major. Where are they? I'm with you. I don't know where they saw that this was just a minor penalty, but they also recognize that they kind of screwed things up by doing so. So it should be very simple. It's a major for boarding, game misconduct, period. Olivier, major for fighting, instigator, and attend. Technically speaking, the Preds should have been shorthanded anyway and weren't until Hines continued to berate them on the bench. So eventually, I think penalty minute-wise, they got it right because Ernie obviously didn't even throw a punch. He just got lambasted by Olivier. So I think they added that in to kind of even out what their determination was. So, again, this is a situation where the referee is trying to even things out and trying to kind of hush-hush, you know, we can go on and on about, you know, Tim Peel and all that, but this is one of those situations where it seems pretty obvious that they tried to make it not as obvious because the Preds should have been shorthanded anyway.
It was a terrible call. I don't understand where the review got there. I don't even understand how the penalty minutes ended up adding up. You're right. They were trying to figure things out and making it more complicated than it needed to be. It should have been a 5-minute major, and then it should have been very easily the penalties against Olivier for what happened right there. Mosh, I appreciate the conversation this morning. I've got a lot more to talk to you about, but unfortunately, we just don't simply have enough time. That's why this radio station needs to just go ahead and let us be on all day long. Everybody else, just go ahead and stay home. We'll just handle the business the rest of the way. You can find him at Twitter to continue this conversation at GreekGoalie35. You want to ask him about anything that's happening with the Nashville Predators, especially when it comes to the world of goaltenders in between the pipes. He is, of course, Mosh Radamus, a man so far in the future. He's told you everything's going to happen between the Nashville Predators and the Tampa Bay Lightning, and helped me recap everything that happened last night in Detroit. Mosh Radamus, appreciate you so much, my friend.
Charlie, always a pleasure, sir. Have a good weekend.
That's Mosh Radamus right there. You've heard from the Ultimate Predator. Sean C. Smith is coming up next. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Hi, this is Victor Arvidsson of the Nashville Predators. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. Thank you so much for jumping in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. You heard from Mosh Radamus. You heard from the Ultimate Predator and me. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. Now, it's time to hear from On the Forechecks, Sean C. Smith. On Twitter, you can find him at SCSOTF. He's got the intel that you need to know, and he updates it throughout the day. That's why I encourage each and every one of you to follow at SCSOTF. Sean, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Charlie, and I'm ready to go.
Fantastic. Let me get right into it. Talk about the officiating in last night's game. You heard Mosh Radamus. He had some strong opinions, some strong analysis. You picked that thread up right there. And tell me about the officiating in that situation and that game overall.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot going on over by the benches early in the game, and you saw it on replays, but you couldn't really see it on the main broadcast feed. And you could tell that things were building. And nothing was really getting called, at least nothing that was going to stem the bubbling over of violence that was about to happen. And then you have Ernie's dasher hit on Benning. You have Olivier's response. You get that major boarding penalty, and it should have been a major. And then it gets scaled back to two. And Hines gets that penalty called on him for asking for an explanation, not getting one. And that puts them on the PK. But see, here's the problem with this, is that hit is the same hit that took out Roman Josi in Dallas. And after that happened, no one went after the guy that did it. And in this case, I think Olivier needed to do that. I think he did what needed to be done, and he showed that he would fight for his teammates. And it's interesting because after the game, you know, with a 7-1 victory, you think there'd be a lot of talk about goals, but really what the team talked about, I think, was a lot more interesting, was they started talking about how they were playing for each other. Eric Halla made a comment in the post game that the team was playing for the guy sitting next to them on the bench. And I think that's exactly what Olivier did. No question, no hesitation, dropped the gloves and started swinging. The Preds learned last time that you had to stand up for your teammates in situations like this because the refs aren't going to call it the way it needs to be called. And at that point in the night, they hadn't been calling things very well at all. So when they overturned that call, Hines deserves an explanation. He doesn't get one. And chewing out the officials for Hines, he was doing the exact same thing Olivier did. He was fighting for the guy sitting in front of him on the bench. That's culture. That's identity. That's what the team has been working on all season, and we're starting to reap those benefits.
Yeah, Sean, follow up. John Hines talks about culture all the time. You and I discuss culture all the time. How does that game fit into the Nashville Predators culture and what the coach is trying to get this team to do?
Well, you know, there were a lot of questions, like I said, after the game about what's finally making things click. Halla and Hines, they all referenced the long road trip that the team had earlier. Hines said there was a big team meeting before the road trip where they discussed the things that had gone wrong. They discussed what the shortcomings had been. And then the team decided that they weren't playing for each other. And they had a chance on that long road trip to spend a lot of time together and finally bond. They didn't get that time at the beginning of the season during training camp due to all of the protocols and rules and how things had to be. Plus, it was dramatically shorter than anything they'd been used to. So I like to think of that road trip for the Predators was a trial by fire. And, you know, in a trial by fire, it may hurt and you may get burned, but you come out of that fire like hardened steel.
And there was certainly commitment and buy-in throughout the team because of the number of injuries, because of the number of rookies getting in on that road trip. We certainly saw a new level, even resiliency starting to enter back into the vocabulary for this Nashville Predators team on a regular basis. Talk to me about the commitment of this roster and these players and to this head coach.
Well, you know, John Hines said that now what's going on is that the guys understand how hard they need to play, and they understand what the commitment levels need to be. And that's not just, well, are you committed to the team? It's talking about commitment to the structure. It's talking about a commitment to the intensity. It's talking about a commitment to the work level that you're going to have on the ice every night. They understand now. The team understands that they can trust each other to bring the same level of commitment and intensity to the game every night from every player. And he went on to praise Arvidsson's play, and he specifically mentioned that Arvidsson was getting a better shot selection and was playing well away from the puck and playing a strong physical defensive game as well. And this is kind of the essence of what we've seen going on. The Predators, in my opinion, have finally embraced playing the game the way John Hines wants him to play the game. Now, I've been saying from the beginning of the season that Hines has a specific vision for how the team should play, and it seems like they've finally been able to achieve it. Earlier, when the team was struggling, someone who was very close to John Hines made the comment, the Predators are playing like a team that hasn't had the Peter Laviolette beaten out of them. I thought then that was a very astute observation. Look at how Arvidsson's playing and what Hines is praising him for. He's playing a full game, the type of game we've seen Admirals coach Carl Taylor develop and the players that are coming up from the AHL. Do you see Roman Josi taking point shot after point shot anymore? No. And do you know why? Because they've had the Peter Laviolette beaten out of them at last. Coach Hines takes a lot of crap from a lot of fans. What you're starting to see now is a team casting off their previous system and embracing a new one. And I'll tell you what, if you like what you're seeing on the ice, you're not seeing a team that's thriving in spite of coaching. You're seeing a team that's thriving because of the coaching. So if you've been somebody who's, you know, clamoring for Hines to be fired and constantly talking on social media about how he needs to be gone, I hate to break it to you, but you're starting to see John Hines hockey. And I think I like what I see, and I hope this continues for the rest of the season.
Sean, since the midpoint of the season, John Hines hockey has been a lot of blood and guts performances out there. Rookies in the lineup, a different lineup almost every night. Players going out injured almost every night. Some of the biggest names on the roster missing significant amount of time. This team is starting to show some real resilience, and it's really starting to energize the fan base. You can hear it, you can feel it, and you certainly see the coverage starting to expand. Absolutely outstanding and astute conversation this morning on what happened last night in Nashville. We can talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning because we're going to have a lot more time to discuss Tampa Bay, I have a feeling, coming up in the next several weeks. So for the rest of the Renegade, Sean, I thank you so much for jumping in the trenches this morning. Everyone can find Sean on Twitter at SCSOTF. I tell you every day, he's got the intel you need to know, and he updates it throughout the day, so make sure you're following him. Sean, I look forward to talking to you again very, very soon. Thank you so much for jumping in the trenches this morning.
Anytime you need me, Charlie, I'll be ready to go.
Sean C. Smith from onthefourcheck.com right there. Absolutely outstanding. Good conversation right there. Love the fact that he gets a chance to talk to the head coach. Love the fact that he is on the front line, boots on the ground at the arena over there at Bridgestone, taking care of business and covering the Nashville Predators for the Renegades of Puck. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio. We've got to get over to the Renegade Analytics desk. We've got to talk to Brian Baston. He's got the numbers you need to know and the charts you need to see. And it's coming up next, right here on Nashville Sports Radio. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
I'm Victor Arvidsson of the Nashville Predators, and you are listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
That's right. You score a hat trick, you get to bring the rejoin back twice with the open of the show. That means Victor Arvidsson introduced us three times this morning to represent his three goals last night in the Nashville Predators 7-1 victory over the Detroit Red Wings, wrapping up the regular season series against the Wings at 6-2. Arvidsson also generated six shots on goal and is 17 of 28 in time on ice. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. Welcome back in to Predneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio. You heard from Sean C. Smith. You've heard from Mostradamus. You've heard from the Ultimate Predator. Now it's time to hear from the Renegade Analytics Desk. It's time to hear from Brian Baston. You can find him on Twitter at Brian Baston. You can find his work at onthefourcheck.com. He's got the numbers you need to know and the charts you need to see. If you step to him in the digital realm, you will be tested. So make sure you bring your best. Brian Baston, you're here with one big stat. Deliver it to the people, please.
All right, Charlie. Well, today I want to highlight who might be the most important person in this entire organization. And you might think to yourself, is that Coach Hines? Is that Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi? But I'm going to argue it's a guy that, our friend Sean Smith has written a story about on the forecheck just in the past couple of months. I think the most important person in this organization is Milwaukee Admirals head coach Carl Taylor and the impact that he had on his team last season and what they've brought to the NHL this season. Now, as we know, the Milwaukee Admirals chose before the season started for the NHL not to participate, and so we've seen a lot of the Admirals players going to the Chicago Wolves. It's been fun to watch. But let me just tell you about the impact those players on last year's roster have had in the NHL this season. Last season, they went 41-14-8. By and large, the best team in the AHL last season. And unfortunately, because of the COVID pandemic, they were not able to continue on in the playoffs and get to lift that Calder Trophy like I think they would have. But let me tell you a little bit about what they've done in the AHL. This season, players that were on the Milwaukee Admiral roster last season have 29 goals and 61 points in 202 games in the NHL. Now, for Nashville, that's 17 goals, 40 points, and 157 games played. It's unbelievable to think that we would have the Nashville Predators would have 157 games played by players who spent the majority of their time in Milwaukee. And leading all of those players, of course, for Nashville is Elias Tolvanen with his 10 goals, 19 points, and 31 games played in the NHL, which leads all three categories for the Nashville Predators. But there's one player that did not rejoin the Nashville Predators after last offseason that has more goals, and it is the same player that is currently right now tied with Philip Forsberg for number of NHL goals this season, and that is the one and the only Colin Blackwell, who once again scored last night, bringing his total to 11 goals, 16 points, and 16 points and 30 games played, which is pretty much incredible because if you listen to me at any point in time this season, every time Blackwell has scored, I've used it as an excuse to talk about my review of Blackwell last season where I basically said he is going to be an immediate, effective middle six player for any NHL team, and they'd be absolutely lucky to have him. And so
It did kill me to see him and players like Freddie Gaudreau with a goal and 4 points for Pittsburgh, which breaks my heart. But again, it's just to say, look at the impact that these Milwaukee players have had in the NHL this season, even though their AHL team is not even playing this season. So again, Coach Taylor, you can read more about what he's done, the development process, in an article written by Sean Smith, our buddy. And, you know, we're going to see, because they're not done. You know, as the injuries pile up, we just start adding more and more admirals to the roster. And the way it's going, I think it's going to end up pretty well.
Brian, absolutely fantastic one big stat for today. I want you to go ahead and post that on Twitter so I can go ahead and share that with everyone else out there. I'm also going to use those numbers a little bit later this morning on the Greg Pogue and John Burton show here between 9 and 11 on Nashville Sports Radio. I think that that shows the incredible impact of what the system has done for the parent club this season. Absolutely top notch right there. And go ahead and give that article by Sean a bump on Twitter as well. Repost that thing from onthefourcheck.com. We'll make sure we also pass it out to the audience, because that article holds more and more relevance now than it did before. Brian Baston, One Big Stat, the Renegade Analytics Desk. Appreciate you and everything you do over at onthefourcheck.com so much. You bring us the visuals. You also bring us the numbers, and we appreciate that so much. Thank you so much, Brian.
Hey, no problem. Guess what? Next week, I'll have a little sneak preview for you. Working on our playoff projection calculator, so we'll start to be able to get some actual numbers on what the Preds have to do to make the playoffs this season.
Brian Baston right there. You also heard from Sean C. Smith. You heard from Mostradamus. You heard from the Ultimate Predator. And, of course, I have guided you through and facilitated the offense from all angles. Stick taps. K-Perk, you know what you're doing out there. Great job on the visuals. Great job on the memes. You're bringing new attention to the trenches. You're bringing new people to the Renegades of Puck. Make sure you're passing those links around. Make sure you're helping us get out to more and more listeners. It is that time of year, and this is when the Renegades were built. We are made for this. Stick taps. Love, respect to each and every one of you out there. It has been fantastic taking over this radio station, being in the trenches with each and every one of you this morning.